Für diese Episode des Workaround Podcasts habe ich mich mit Dave Carter getroffen. Dave ist Präsident von Smart Recruiters. Smart Recruiters ist eine große HR-Software-Company aus den USA. Und es war ein sehr spontanes Treffen. Wir haben uns das am Morgen ausgemacht, haben uns dann mittags direkt getroffen und den Podcast aufgenommen. Wir haben über sein Leben in Kalifornien geredet, was ihn antreibt, im HR-Bereich zu arbeiten. Dave ist schon sein ganzes Leben im HR-Tech tätig. Wir haben darüber gesprochen, was Smart Recruiters macht, wie Smart Recruiters Unternehmen helfen kann, über Success Cases, was seine beste Erfahrung war, als er sich mal für Jobs beworben hat, als er in der Situation war. Außerdem hat Dave mit uns noch sein besten Tipp in Sachen Karriere geteilt und uns verraten, was er machen würde, wenn er so viel Geld hätte, dass er gar nicht mehr arbeiten muss. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören. Hi Dave.
Hey Jasmine, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good.
Hello, this is Jasmine and this is a new episode of the Workaround Podcast. I'm very happy to welcome Dave Carter today. Dave is the president of Smart Recruiters. Dave, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So that one was really spontaneous this morning. We decided to meet up today. Now it's noon and yeah, here we are. Dave, you are actually from California. What are you doing in Berlin here?
Yeah, good question. I actually came over to Europe. I started out in Amsterdam. I was at the Unleash HR conference earlier this week. So I got the opportunity to see a lot of interesting new technologies and heard a lot of really great speakers around HR tech.
What was the name again of the conference?
Unleash.
Unleash, okay, yeah.
Unleash HR. Yeah. It was a great conference for us. And while I was in Europe, I decided to hit all of our European offices. So I'm starting out with Berlin today. Actually, I came in on Wednesday. I'm starting out with Berlin, going to Paris and London. So I'm going to hit the three offices while I'm over here.
Yeah, that's a nice round trip.
Yeah. Then back to California, yeah.
Where are you from in California?
I actually live in San Diego. Nice. The company is based in San Francisco.
Okay, great.
So it's a very virtual company, a very decentralized company.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time in San Francisco, but I also spend a lot of time just out visiting with the various sales teams, the various customers and things of that nature. So my office is on an airplane probably, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
So I'm planning a trip to California in December and January. Maybe you can give me some advice later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. It's a great place.
Yeah. And you are the president of Smart Recruiters. What do you do in your current job?
Sure. So first of all, I've only been here for about 6 weeks. So
okay,
it's a new job for me. It's
yeah.
a new job for me. But I came over here and I'm responsible for all the go-to-market teams, all the client-facing teams. So I'm responsible for sales, marketing, client success, customer support, you know, all of those types of functions that are interacting with the customers, whether we're selling the new business or keeping the clients and renewing them and making sure that they're happy.
Okay, got it. And what did you do before? Could you give us a quick overview about your past business life?
Yeah, I mean, my entire life pretty much has been spent in HR tech. I started out in kind of the HR payroll world many years ago, probably more than I want to admit, but like over 20 years ago, I was in that world and with companies like Ceridian, and then I was at another company called ProBusiness that we actually, you know, became a public company and then we sold that to ADP. I also worked for an HR outsourcing company called Savista that we sold to Accenture.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently, I spent the last 10 years at a company called Cornerstone On Demand, where I was the chief sales officer, and I was there from the time we were $10 million in revenue to about $500 million in revenue. So that was a pretty fun ride, a pretty long ride. And I left them back in April.
Okay.
So I decided to take some time off, and my goal was to spend the entire year off and do some traveling and things of that nature, but I only made it through the summer. I started talking to Jerome, our CEO at Smart Recruiters, in August. And by the end of August, I had decided that I wanted to sign up and be part of this journey. So I decided to come out of retirement, so to speak, and get back to work. And I've been here since the beginning of September.
So you couldn't wait any longer to start?
I couldn't, yeah. The travel was fun, but it gets a little tough to not kind of engage, you know, kind of intellectually or have the business stimulation and those types of things. So we had a great time. My wife and I traveled all over the place, you know, both in the United States and in Europe. And we spent time on a sailboat in, you know, the Greek Isles and did a lot of really fun stuff. But it was, you know, I got back. I think it was time to kind of get back to work and start having fun in a different way, you know?
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Great. And what drives you in your job? So you told us that you, so all the time of your business life you spent in HR tech. So why did you choose the HR unit?
Yeah, I mean, I think originally I kind of fell into it, to be perfectly honest. I was a military officer right out of college. I ended up as an officer in the Navy. And when I was transitioning out of the Navy, I just did 4 years. But when I was transitioning out of the Navy, I ended up taking a job with a company, Ceridian, in the U.S. and got into sales with them, and I just kind of progressed my career through there. And over time, though, I've just developed this affinity, you know, for helping companies, you know, optimize their employees, you know, get the right people in the right roles, and then develop them and make sure that they're successful, you know. And it's, you know, one of these things where when you see a company become successful based on their employees, because that's kind of what is at stake in every company, right? It's the employees that are going to drive the success, and you need to get the right people and make sure you're giving them the right opportunities and you're training them and you're helping to make them successful. So that's probably been what has been my driver, I think, is just seeing people have success and companies have success and you're helping them get there.
And how does the Smart Recruiters help other companies in their hiring process? Could you explain
sure,
that?
Sure, sure. You know, our mission is really to drive hiring success, right? I mean, you know, our goal would be to have, you know, zero unemployment. Every employee has the right job. Every employer has the right employees doing the job. You know, it's a bit, you know, kind of altruistic, but the reality is that what we do is we, you know, create these scenarios where companies can drive hiring success. So we actually today released our CRM product. So our candidate relationship management product, and it's a tool that allows companies to market their brand, you know, create talent pools, create these opportunities for candidates to be nurtured and, you know, marketed to over time, so that when they are ready to make a change, they know about the opportunities there in the marketplace. So companies are using that tool in order to make sure that they're getting the right candidates in. We've got artificial intelligence that helps, you know, narrow the pool down to the specific candidates that would be right for that job. So it eliminates a lot of the work that the recruiter has to do in trying to find the right candidates. And then our system, your our applicant tracking system, allows companies to track those applicants through the hiring process, make sure that it's a collaborative process with the managers. And it also creates this environment where candidates can come into the system and find jobs and go look for those jobs themselves. So the candidate experience is very modern and very, you know, optimized for, you know, both the candidate and for the employer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you share some success cases with us?
Yeah, sure. You know, here in Germany, one of our largest clients is Robert Bosch. So, you know, we just rolled out to 260,000 employees globally. We're one of the few ATS companies that has the ability to scale globally across all different countries, all different languages. So that's a big win for us. We also do business with companies like IKEA. We do business with Abercrombie & Fitch. We do business with Kelly Services. So there's a variety of companies across all sorts of different industries throughout the world. You know, and we're, as I said earlier, you know, we have offices in the United States where we've got a very large sales presence in North America. And then we also have a sales presence here in Europe with our offices in London, Paris, and Berlin.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I think you have really a lot of experience in HR and you have this view from America. What do you think regarding the role of the HR department in companies? Which role does HR play in the digitization strategy of the companies at the moment, and which role should it take in the future? Could you give me your...
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think that all HR departments and all HR professionals are really striving to become that influential member of the executive team, or, you know, of the team, so to speak, in order to make sure that you've got the right people and the right jobs and that they're trained and that their, you know, their skill sets are the correct and all those different types of things. And, you know, oftentimes they get pushed down to more of an administrative function. And I think that is the push-pull that has been happening in the HR world for many years now. And I think over the last several years, you've seen that they've really come into their own, and they're actually adding that value to the decision-making and the strategy of the organization. And I think that technology has had a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. I think that technology has automated a lot of the administrative tasks so that these things can just happen. And the HR people are able to get out of the administrative functions and add more value to the business in a strategic way. So they've still got a little bit of a way to go to where they're on par with that CFO or that CTO in the kind of executive suite. But if the company is doing it right, they have a very, very strong influence. I mean, every CEO will say that their most important asset is their people.
Yeah.
And it's time for the CEOs to really step up and allow the CHRO to take that role and be the driver of that strategy around people. So you're seeing it happen more and more.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a difference between American companies and companies in Europe? Are the Americans more developed when it comes to that point?
It's really tough to generalize, to be honest. I think that there are progressive companies on all continents, and there are laggards on all continents, right? So you see oftentimes that the tech-driven companies are the ones that are really embracing technology and trying to take these digitization processes and really move forward with it. That being said, some of the old guard companies are really stepping up to the plate and embracing technology in different ways as well, right? They might not be as sexy or as forward thinking in some of their processes, but some of them are really kind of going the extra yard and really doing a lot of different things there. So I think you'll see that it's tough to generalize across the world. I was just at the Unleash HR conference in Amsterdam, which is a global event, but it's probably dominated by European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the HR Tech conference in Las Vegas a month ago, where you had a lot of the same vendors, but I would say that the European audience was as advanced, if not more so, than the U.S. Audience that was in there. And the same topics were being spoken about by the same speakers, to be perfectly honest, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the speakers were were from both the U.S. and from the European countries, and many of them give their speeches on both sides of the world, right? So, and I also was at the LinkedIn conference recently where a lot of the same speakers were there as well. So it's interesting to see how these people are on the circuit, so to speak, and they're getting around having these conversations with HR leaders and really trying to progress the way that people think about HR and how they think about optimizing their people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And what do you think, which topics do you consider most relevant for HR departments? So is it more the tech thing or the collaboration with startups, or is there the methodological skill set that is missing, or where should the HR department put the focus on?
Yeah, I think that there's a skill gap issue, and I think it's becoming harder and harder to get the right people for the right jobs. And recruiting in particular is becoming a sales job, right? I mean, you're selling your company, you're selling to people, and then you're trying to get those people into the right roles, right? And so ultimately, their skill sets are the commodity that are in play here. And you need to attract people with the right skill sets. You need to have an employer brand that people want to go work there. We go into some of these tech companies in the San Francisco area, and they're competing with the Facebooks and the Googles every day for talent. And they need to have a reason why these people are going to come work for them. The money is probably similar. If anything, they're probably at a disadvantage because they're oftentimes startups and smaller companies. So the goal is to create a place where people want to go work, right? And create an environment where people think that they can add value and that they can leverage their skills and do something special. There's also a lot of kind of social things that come into play where they don't only want to go work for a company to create a product or do something to drive the business, but they want to have some kind of social feedback. They want to have the opportunity to give back to the world and do things differently than maybe the companies had in the past, where it was all about kind of the financial rewards. More and more people are interested in what they can give back. There's more and more people interested in how they're going to balance their own work-life balance. You know, there's a lot of gig economy kind of things going on where, you know, you're using contractors and things of that nature instead of hiring employees. So there's lots of different ways for people to earn a living and have, you know, the ability to do something different. You know, actually, last night at dinner with the Berlin office, you know, I was not surprised because I had heard this before, but it's amazing to me how you were at a table with 20 people and very few of them are from Berlin. They all came here on some kind of adventure where they wanted to kind of just go see the world and, you know, and live in a place where they felt that it just had a cool vibe and, you know, they're in this business, you know, this is a job for them and they're doing great work and they're excited about it. But for us to have gotten the talent that we got, it took some work, right? I mean, because, you know, you want to make sure you're attracting the right people and you're getting them on board. So yeah, this is an exciting place. It's just the energy in a place like Berlin, especially with, you know, kind of the younger demographic is pretty impressive. There's a lot of really kind of cool, smart people here that you're trying to do great things. And it's not only about the products they're trying to create for their job, but they're also doing things on the side, or they're, you know, interested in making their music at night, or they're just, you know, the collaboration and the teamwork and the things you're seeing in the office is pretty amazing. Yeah.
Could you imagine moving to Berlin and working here?
You know what? At this stage of my life, probably not. I'm pretty ingrained in California, but I wish I had taken an adventure like this, you know, earlier in my career, to be honest. I think it's, you know, pretty cool. I've got kids that are 22 and 24, and I'm always encouraging them that, you know, go do something like that you're not going to be able to do when you're 30 or when you're 40, right? Because it's a lot more difficult to pick up and move, you know, once you've maybe got children or a house or whatever those types of things are, than it is when you're in your 20s and you can kind of get up and go do something and go on a bit of an adventure. So
yeah,
I love that. And I think that, you know, just the energy in the office since I've been here, it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And are there any trends in the U.S. when it comes to, like, benefits for employees or other initiatives that attract new talent?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I said before, a lot of things around the giving back stuff I think is important. So a lot of companies are offering, you know, volunteer time. They're offering, you know, they have foundations maybe within the companies, and they're doing things like that. They're encouraging the employees to donate some of their time. They're even encouraging their customers to donate their time, right? So there's a lot of things that you can be doing that way. You know, health and welfare is very, very big right now. So there's a lot of wellness type of startups and things of that nature, and people are taking advantage of those kind of perks, and companies are offering them to their employees. You know, I mentioned earlier, I don't know if I mentioned Equinox as one of our customers, but it's a big gym chain in the US, and, you know, they're doing some amazing things with their employees around just, you know, fitness and welfare, and, you know, so you've seen a lot of that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, okay, cool. When you think back to your own experiences when you applied for jobs, so is there anything in your mind that was a really, really great experience and that you would recommend to other companies to do it the same?
I think that, you know, to be perfectly honest, in my past life, you know, I didn't have any, like, perfectly wonderful experiences, right? And that's part of why I was attracted to Smart Recruiters, because Smart Recruiters gives you the ability to create those amazing experiences. You hear all sorts of different things about ways that companies are even giving the jobs out. I think Spotify, you know, will send you a playlist, you know, like, you know, that, you know, has, you know, the job offer included in it and stuff like that. And, you know, different companies are doing interesting things that
How do you mean that? With a playlist?
I haven't, you know, read it myself or seen it, but I read something that said that they're making their job offer, you know, with music involved in the offering and things of that nature.
That's great.
So yeah, it just adds a personalization. It adds, you know, different things. But the onboarding process is extremely important, and you need to make sure that the employee gets ingrained into the culture very, very quickly. And I think that is important for companies to do. And, you know, you need to make sure that the person has a great experience, or else, you know, in that first 3-4 months, they might be getting that kind of buyer's remorse where they're thinking, okay, was this the right fit for me? And you don't want to lose those people that you spent all that time and effort and money, you know, trying to attract. So it's important to get that kind of initial, you know, brand of the company conveyed and also get them into the organization and make sure that they're doing some fabulous things.
And when we think about the term work, so how do you define work for yourself? And what is most important for you?
I don't think of work as work, I guess, right? I mean, so I enjoy business. I enjoy getting out and talking to customers and finding out what makes their business tick and trying to think about ways that I can help them do better. And to me, that's not work. I mean, that's fun. I enjoy my team, right? I mean, I want to make my team, you know, part of my family. I mean, it's important to me to have those types of relationships at work. And life is too short to work with people you don't like. So I make sure that the team is well aligned. They don't have to all be the same. They can have different interests. And that's what makes it interesting as well, right? You don't want a bunch of clones that all have the same type of background or interests. But you want people that you can sit down with and have an interesting conversation. You want people that you can go out with to dinner and you enjoy your dinner. You're not dreading going out to dinner with your colleagues and things of that nature, right? So to me, I've always just tried to create this environment where we have fun. You know, I mean, when I came on board to SmartRecruiters, I did a presentation to my team, and I didn't talk at all about my business background. I didn't talk about, you know, my previous accomplishments or anything like that. That wasn't what I was interested in doing. I wanted them to know who I was. So I talked to them about my family. I talked to them about how I grew up. I talked to them about what's important to me personally. I talked to them about, you know, I showed them pictures of my dog, of my kids, of my wife, you know, where we went on vacation, what I like to do, the sports teams I like to follow. And I just thought it was important to accelerate that kind of understanding of who I am. And I was hopeful that when I go meet them, and it's worked out this way, that they'll share some of that stuff back, right? So that we can accelerate that process. And accelerating those relationships hopefully will help me be successful and help them be successful. So I look back at my last job, I had those types of relationships, and I was there 10 years. And it's hard for me to pinpoint when they developed, to be perfectly honest. I don't know if it was like in the first year, in the third year, the fifth year, but I know when I left, it was a very, very sad moment for all of us. And we were all kind of emotional about the fact that we were gonna, you know, not be working together any longer. And I wanna get to that point again as rapidly as possible in a new environment, right? So to me, you know, work isn't work. You know, I guess it's an extension of your life. And for me, work and play kind of blur. And I think you need to work smart. You know, you need to have fun at work, and you need to make sure you've got the balance to play hard and enjoy the things you like to do outside of work as well. So it all kind of blurs in my world.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
And your team, were they surprised when you showed this presentation?
Yeah.
It was really personal?
Yeah,
or is
they
it
were,
a
actually.
Usual
it was,
thing?
It was funny, I mean, because I think they're expecting me to come in and, you know, the new guy coming in, and I was going to talk all business and all about all the personal things and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, excuse me, all about the business things and my personal accomplishments and all that kind of stuff. But when I talked to them about family and all this kind of stuff, I think at first they were kind of shocked, but the feedback I got afterwards was actually very, very positive. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about some of the things that we should, the ways we should interact with each other in a work environment as well. And I talked about things like having fun at work. It was important to me that they have fun, that they're enjoying their job. I talked to them about concepts such as, like, you know, radical honesty, where, like, you know, they need to challenge me, I need to challenge them. You know, we can't pull back and hold back, you know, the tough conversations. We need to be honest with one another. And you know, sometimes that's going to be easy and sometimes it's going to be hard, right? And sometimes it's, you know, not fun if you're having to be honest with someone about something that isn't positive. But it's important to do that so that there's that level of transparency and trust. So those types of things where we talked about. I talked about the fact that, you know, they need to be scrappy and gritty and, you know, and get things, you know, don't wait for the company to deliver things to them. They need to move forward and do that. So I transitioned from the very, very personal to the kind of work personal in that conversation. But I think it was well received. The feedback I got was positive, but, you know, as the new guy, you don't know if they were following my mantra around trust and being honest, right? So hopefully they were, you know, because the feedback was positive. Yeah.
Okay, great. And how do you make sure creating an environment where everybody really likes to work and has fun at work? Is there anything that combines every employee so that you can say, okay, maybe Of course, everybody likes to have fun at work. How do you make that
sure? Yeah, no. In today's world, it's difficult, right? I mean, so my teams are very virtual. I mean, we've got offices in various cities, like in San Francisco and in Paris and London and Berlin, but not everybody works out of those offices, even in those regions, right? And then in the U.S., you've got a lot of the salespeople work out of their homes. A lot of the client success people work out of their homes. So we do a lot of things with, you know, video in order to make sure that we're face to face when we're having our conversations and all that kind of stuff. And but at the same time, I mean, we try to get the teams together, you know, as often as possible. It's expensive, so you can't do it every day or every week. But you know, we get the teams together. What I've been trying to do a lot lately is empower people to, you know, work across teams. So as we come up with a challenge, you know, I'll task, you know, various people from various departments to go figure it out. You know, I'm not going to have all the answers, so I tell them that up front, and I say, here are a couple of my thoughts. You know, I'd love to hear yours, but, you know, why don't you go get with people in these five departments, you know, and come back to us with a presentation. So I don't know if that's fun, but it's empowering, right? And it's important for people to feel like they're making a contribution, and the more you're making a contribution, the more fun it is in many ways, right? And that's not like going out and partying and drinking and going to events and all that kind of stuff, which we hopefully can, you know, create those opportunities for those that want to do that. But I think a lot of people just want a place where they can make a difference and they're heard and that they can do good work, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're looking for. And you know, some people like to go out with a group after work, right, and have fun. Others maybe would prefer to go home to their family and you know, they miss their wife and kids and they want to get back and you know, it's not high on their list to go out with their friends after work to dinner, you know. So you have to consider the preferences and the differences in, you know, in your entire team and create environments that hopefully they all can thrive. Yeah.
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 So at the end I have two more questions that are a bit more personal.
Okay.
So what would you do if you had so much money that there is no need to work?
What would I do if I had so much money that there's no need to work? I may work. So, you know, I've had some, you know, some level of success in my career. It's been very positive. And you know, I still choose to work. I enjoy it. I enjoy to be part of something. I enjoy to be part of a company. If I got to the point though, where I was kind of done doing traditional work, you know, I would obviously, you know, do the things with family, you know, and spend time there, but I would also try to find, you know, some philanthropic causes that are, you know, close to me and close to my heart. And get involved with some of those types of things, because I think I need to be contributing in some way, whether it's to a traditional corporation or something different. My daughter works at a nonprofit. It's called Team Rubicon. If you haven't ever heard of it, look it up. It's pretty interesting. But they...
Can you say the name again?
Yeah, Team Rubicon.
Okay.
And they take military veterans, and they, when they come back and they're, you know, in the civilian world now, and they're, many of them are looking for purpose and they're looking for a mission and they like to be part of a team, and they deploy those people to natural disasters. So they deploy them to, you know, the floods that were just happening in Texas. And these people come in there and they've got hundreds of thousands of volunteers now.
Mm-hmm. Worldwide?
And what's that?
Worldwide?
Yes, worldwide. Yep. There is a worldwide organization mm-hmm. now. Yeah, it started out in the U.S., but it is worldwide now, and it's just a very interesting organization. If you go look at any of their stuff, it's a really cool group of people, and you know, I'd maybe try and get more involved with them. I've been involved on the periphery, you know, at times, and you know, I signed up, but I haven't gone and volunteered yet. You know, like so, I need to get out there and get trained so I can go volunteer. And it's always been on my list, and I haven't quite. You, this may be forcing me to go do it, you know, because I just said it out loud, but. You know, and I've donated time and money and stuff like that to them in the past. But I think it would be an interesting thing to, you know, find something like that to get involved with, where it's not about making money. It's about doing good.
Mm.
And you know, I'd like to think that, you know, here we're making money and we're doing good, because I do think helping people find the right jobs is a pretty cool thing. And helping companies find the right people is a pretty cool thing. So I think that that's something that, you know, I'm passionate about. But I think that maybe something even bigger, you know.
And the last question, could you share the best advice that you ever got regarding career? So is there anything that comes to your mind that you can share with us?
Work hard and have fun. I mean, yeah, seriously, it's that simple to me.
Don't take it too serious.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, take your work seriously and do a great job and work real hard. But also, it's got to be fun. I mean, you have to enjoy what you're doing. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you should probably find a different job. Because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you're probably not doing that good in your job. And you're probably not helping the people around you that much because you're probably the person that is being vocal about not liking their job, right? So it's probably time to move on if you're not happy, mm-hmm. right? So it's pretty simple, but it to me, it's, you know, do the best you can, you know, work hard, do the best you can, and enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
That was our interview. Thank you for your time.
You.
Thanks for being here. And have a safe trip home.
Okay, thank you.
Dear community, thank you for tuning in again. If you liked this episode with Dave, I would really happy if you recommend it to your friends, family, or colleagues. I wish you a really nice day and see you soon. Bye-bye.